Welcome to the United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is the show that brings you 26 different stories around Southwest Michigan in 26 weeks, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Want to know more about the work of the United Way? Visit uwsm.org.
Welcome to tonight's show on financial stability. We have some great guests joining us this evening, including my very first guest, Rachel Wade. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Anna.
Rachel's the Vice President of Impact and Development at United Way of Southwest Michigan.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. But I think, didn't we give you a new title recently?
We're getting there.
Okay. Not till after the first of the year.
Correct.
All right. Then everything changes, right?
Yeah, you can have a whole show just about
right,
that because no one will care.
Well, Rachel's been here a few times, so we know Rachel, and I don't want to go way back into your backstory, but just a little bit about who you are. How'd you end up at United Way?
Yeah, I've been at United Way of Southwest Michigan for 10 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
That's half my life there.
I thought you were going to say that's half your life. I was ready for a smart comment.
Yeah, you were.
I've been with United Way. This is the third role that I've been in at United Way. I started with the Great Start Collaborative. Then I worked on community impact. And now I'm overseeing kind of strategy development across the different arms of the organization. But I love my job. And I'm not saying that just because you're my boss and you're sitting right next to me. I really do.
You know what? And I do know that. And you don't have to say it because I can see it in your work every day. When you're talking about jobs and positions, you're a little bit younger, so you haven't had a ton of jobs. But has there been a unique aspect of a job that you've had that you really liked?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. And I have to be careful how I answer that. I've definitely had jobs where I've learned this is not what I want to do for the
yeah,
rest
so
of my
I.
life.
Yeah.
Which I think is almost sometimes a better learning mm-hmm. experience than having a good experience, because it really taught me what I want in an organization and what I don't want in an organization. And one of the things that I love about my job at United Way is the work that we're doing mm-hmm. in the community. But what I equally love about my job at United Way is the organizational culture in which we do that work, because it truly is a joy to go to work. Not only the people that my coworkers, but our volunteers who are ridiculously smart yeah. and blow my mind every day with the way they challenge us
right.
and the way they push our work forward. It's an amazing environment to be in.
And I did not pay you to say that. That's
well,
awesome.
Well, technically you do, but
well, yeah,
not
that's
extra.
True. That's true.
Yeah.
But that is true. And I would have to, I tend to agree. I think it's the volunteers that really drive us. And yet we have a very, very talented staff doing the work that they do, but volunteers are the heart of really what we do.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk a little bit about financial stability. It's one of the areas that United Way has invested in. And there was a, report out, and you're going to get more into that, called the Alice Report. But I want to go back to a definition of what does it mean to be financially stable?
Yeah, financial stability is one of those things where it's really difficult to put a hard definition. You know, you can say, what does it mean to be third grade reading proficient? Or what does it mean to, you know, to be overweight? I mean, there are like hard definitions to
right.
that. But with financial stability, there really isn't kind of a firm threshold as to you're stable, you're not stable. And so financial stability is really, can you make ends meet? Can you pay for the things you need to pay for? But then going beyond that is, but then are you also saving? Are you saving for a rainy day? Are you saving for future things you want to do in your life? It's, you know, it's one thing to just cover your expenses, but then how are you assuring your financial stability
for
later on in life? And typically what gets used as a marker for financial stability, and this is kind of weird, so let me just talk my way through it for a minute, is how much of your income you spend on your housing costs. That's typically used as a threshold for financial stability. And so you typically look at how many folks are spending more than a third of their income on their housing costs. And that's part of what the interesting parts of the Alice report have shown. We look at Alice. So let's define Alice.
Yes,
Alice stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. most commonly referred to as the working poor. Folks who have a job, they have income coming in, but it's not enough to fully make ends meet. They make too much to qualify for public assistance, but not enough to fully be financially stable. So they kind of fall into this crack of there's not really a lot of support out there for folks that fall into this ALIS threshold.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6, and I am speaking with Rachel Reid with a little bit of empty air there, but we're talking about ALIS, and we're really talking about financial stability. We're talking about a report that we work with, and it's the ALIS report, and it's an acronym, again, for
Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed.
So what does an ALIS family look like?
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a few numbers just to kind of set the stage, okay? So in Berrien and Cass counties, which is our service area for United Way, there's just over 84,000 households, okay?
Yep.
Just over 12,000 of those households live below the poverty line, which is what a lot of public assistance programs use as their eligibility criteria, the poverty line, the federal poverty line.
Do you know what that number is?
For a family of four, the federal poverty line is just over $24,000. Okay. Right. So we've got 12,000 of the 84,000 households that live below poverty. We've got almost 20,000 households that fall within this ALIS threshold.
Wow.
So they make more than poverty, but they don't make enough to be completely financially stable all on their own. And so we talk a lot about folks living in poverty, and we should, because that's a huge challenge for families, and we need to provide supports to families who live in poverty. But the even bigger chunk of folks in our community are those that fall within this ALIS threshold. And there's not a whole lot out there to help ALIS.
Do you know what that amount is?
For a family of four, the ALIS threshold is $57,000. So it's basically twice the poverty line.
And so we're talking nearly half of the households are falling below that ALIS, and 'cause that includes the poverty line as well.
Yeah, the 20,000 who right. live in ALIS don't include the poverty.
No, but
so
the
you've
total.
Got
12,
yeah,
right,
so you've got 12,000 in poverty. You've got 20,000 in ALIS of the 84,000 households in our community. That's a lot of numbers. I'm probably boring people. The point of this is when we talk about the folks that need the most support, if you live in poverty, there's a lot of support available to you. When you live within ALIS, there's not. And these are folks who are struggling with do I pay for my groceries or do I pay for my medication? Do I pay for my utilities or do I pay for my child's childcare? I mean, these are real battles that they're having every day.
So when we're talking about ALIS, the question is why are families falling into that window, that space of, you know, living? And in Michigan, 62% of jobs pay less than $20 per hour, with two-thirds of those paying less than $15 per hour. And another 29% of the jobs pay between $20 and $40 an hour. But only 9% of the jobs pay between $40 and $60. So somewhere there's a disconnect. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so one of the things I love about data is that it paints a picture and it can answer a lot of questions. But sometimes it also poses just as many questions that we can't answer. So this is one of those that is really difficult to answer. A couple of reasons why I think we have so many families falling into this ALIS. Number one, we have a skills gap in our community. We have a lot of good paying jobs in our community, but we don't have the folks with the right credentials to take those jobs. So when you've got, especially within our manufacturing community, there are organizations and businesses who are desperate for workers and jobs that are definitely paying a livable wage, but we don't have the right people in Southwest Michigan with the credentials to take those jobs. So I think that's the biggest part of the challenge. Another piece is out-migration of talent.
Sure.
When we have young folks who are graduating from college with these great degrees and they're leaving Southwest Michigan to go to a larger community or a different community, and they're taking that talent with them.
Where Where can someone that's listening find out more information about this ALICE report?
Yeah, the ALICE report came from the Michigan Association of United Ways, and you can go to their website, which is umich.org/ALICE, and the entire report is out there.
Awesome. Well, thank you. That was fast. There's a lot of information about that. We could talk for a whole hour on that. We thank Rachel Wade from United Way for joining us, as always. And when we return, we'll be talking with our friends from Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. So don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined in the studio with Rob Burgess, who's not just a vital volunteer for United Way, but a VITA volunteer. Isn't that cool how they wrote that? You are a vital volunteer.
Thank you, ma'am.
We'll explain more on the VITA program in a moment, but I want to get to know a little bit about you, Rob. One of the things I love to do on this show is I like to introduce our guests to our audience. And so you are one of the few that have not been on the show and they don't know you. What is your backstory? Where did you come from and kind of how did you get to where you are today?
I was born and raised in Michigan in the Saginaw area. I moved to Berrien County in 1993 with a kind of a hop and a jump and a few different places in between. Talked earlier about what our favorite jobs were, or maybe our most interesting
Sure.
jobs. And I can recall a couple. I'll briefly state my first job was as a janitor at a Catholic church and school in a cemetery.
Oh,
digging graves was kind of an interesting profession. But it also taught me the value and dignity of all work.
Sure.
So that's one thing I learned from that job. Probably my most interesting job, though, I'm a Vietnam-era veteran.
Well, thank you for
and
your service.
And I actually did a morning wake-up show for Armed Forces Radio and Television. I was the TV station manager for Midway Island.
Like Good Morning, like that.
Yeah, but
movie.
I was the geeky guy.
Oh, okay, okay.
So we did the nightly news broadcast on KMTH TV, the voice of the Mid Pacific.
Oh, that's wild.
And also, like I said, a morning wake up show. So it was a long time ago. We had a lot of fun with that, though.
So you volunteer right now, but you were in education for a long time.
Correct.
What were those roles?
I started my gig in education. I have a CPA as a background. I started working for what is now the largest CPA firm in the firm world, Deloitte.
Okay, yep.
In Grand Rapids. Some of our clients were Chrysler, Spartan Foods, Country Fresh Dairies, etc. Way back when. I moved from there. I became the budget director for the Grand Rapids Public Schools before moving down here.
I did not realize
where
that.
I retired from Lakeshore Public Schools as chief financial officer about 7 years ago.
I did not realize the Grand Rapids piece in there. But so you've obviously worked with numbers for a long time, and that is what I think probably helps you in this whole VITA piece of the work. So let's talk to our listeners about what VITA program is. What does VITA stand for?
VITA is the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. Most people don't think of the IRS to be here to help you, but the VITA program is one of those programs actually at the IRS where they do help you. So we assist people with their annual tax filing obligation. There's no charge for the program. And we have a great group of volunteers that assist with that project.
So is there a requirement or a income threshold for someone that can utilize your service?
Yeah, the IRS actually establishes the thresholds for the clients that we're able to assist. It's generally families with household income less than $54,000 a year.
Okay. And how long have you been volunteering for VITA?
This will be my 13th
wow.
season, lucky 13 coming up here. And, you know, it really is a joy to me annually to see some of our returning clients come back. Many of them I only see once a year. I get a chance to catch up with them, find out how their families are doing, find out how they're doing. And the personal part of the taxes in meeting a lot of people that I probably wouldn't get a chance to meet is really the greatest joy of the whole volunteer process.
And how many people do you think you see, not just you, because I know there's a whole group of volunteers, and your role in this is really kind of coordinating it. Is that correct?
I'm involved as a site coordinator as well as coordinating the volunteers. I also get involved in reviewing tax returns. All of our tax returns are reviewed once they're prepared by a volunteer preparer. I do prepare tax returns also. We're also always in the need for more volunteers.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I'm here with Rob Burgess, a United Way volunteer with the VITA program, which is the Voluntary Income Tax Assistance Program.
Correct.
Is that right? Okay. You've been doing this for 13 years, so you've seen a lot of people. How many tax returns do you think are done in a season?
Depends on the number of volunteers we have in any given year. Typically, it's 300 to 600 returns.
And
that would be federal returns and then state and local returns on top of that.
So you do both?
Correct.
Okay. And the volunteers that do the tax returns, they do both?
Correct.
Or do you have federal volunteers in state? Are they just trained to do it all?
No, typically when our clients come in to see us, they sit down with a tax preparer volunteer, and that he or she will help them with their federal, state. Sometimes they have to do Indiana and Michigan.
Okay.
And, of course, this year we're going to have something new for several of our clients. They're going to have Benton Harbor city returns as well.
Oh, so that'll be a new aspect. And so do you have to get trained?
All of our
this?
Volunteers are certified by the Internal Revenue Service. We have training also in Michigan and Indiana. Tax law will also have to have some training in city tax law this coming season.
And when we talk about, excuse me, when we talk about 300 to 600 returns, what kind of dollar amount is attached to that in a return? Do you have any idea of the, I mean, is it $1 million? Is it $5 million? Is it $100?
Hundreds of thousands.
Okay.
That we return back to the area. I think the biggest benefit for our clients, typically the statistics I see, is that costs a taxpayer maybe $150 or more to have their tax return prepared by a professional preparer. We serve the poor and the working poor when we help them with their taxes. So if nothing else, we feel that we're helping them save that $150 or more annually that they can put back into their own pockets.
Well, and you just kind of connected back to that Alice population as well. So you said the poor and the working poor, because the threshold or the dollar amount is the $54,000. So it's very similar to
right.
where that is in that Alice population. So when you see someone that comes in that needs their taxes prepared, what are just a couple of the steps that you have to go through to get them ready to actually do that preparation, to do that return?
When folks come into our sites, they complete some forms that the IRS provides for us so that we ask them the appropriate questions that we need to ask them to do their return correctly. I always tell our volunteers, you don't just say, how much money do you make? Who do you live with? Do you gamble? Those are all questions that we need to know in terms of helping them with their tax returns. So we need to know the types of income they have, types of expenses they have. And so it takes for our volunteers, as the type of person, you've got to be a special person to be able to ask those personal questions.
Sure.
all of our volunteers have to pass an ethics test to make sure we understand this is personal information of our clients, and we want to make sure that we hold it with utmost confidence.
You said something that I just want to ask on. You said you asked the question about gambling. Why is that a critical question?
If they have gambling income, that's income that has to be declared. Obviously, we have quite a few casinos in our area. So
yes,
some of our clients, not all, some of our clients, just like all of us, like to buy lotto tickets or may occasionally go down to a casino.
So, oh, interesting. Okay. Well, that makes sense. We're trying to get information out to individuals to learn about this. What, I know our schedules are getting set up for the next tax season. Is there something you can tell our listeners about where to get information or how to get information in case they're interested in getting their tax returns prepared?
Most of our returning clients will receive letters informing them of when tax preparation begins. We typically begin the last week of January, first week of February.
Okay, and then go through all the way to...
All the way through April 15th.
And last question for you, Rob. Why are you so passionate about this work?
It's a joy to help people. And if you get a chance to volunteer for this program, I think you'll find that also.
Well, Rob, you're a phenomenal volunteer, and I've enjoyed working with you the many years that I have. Thank you for what you do for us. I want to thank Robert just for joining us this evening, and we have to go to a break. But when we return, we'll be welcoming in a friend of ours from the AIR Agency on Aging to continue our conversation on financial stability. So stay with us.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6. Our show this evening is focused on financial stability, and I'm excited to be welcoming Pat Arter, our friend from AIR Agency on Aging. Welcome, Pat. How are you?
I'm well, Anna. Thank you.
Nice to have you here. So I like to get to know our guests. I like our audience to get to know our guests. And as you have heard, what is your backstory? Where did you come from and how did you get to here at AIR Agency on Aging in St. Joe?
I was born and raised in Muskegon, went to college at Central. Don't hold it against
me,
Anna.
No, we won't. Go Broncos.
And I went to, from there to Lansing, I worked 5 years in a law office, and that was a great experience, very broad experience in Lansing, and had some exposure to the political world there when I was living there. And I moved down here to for a job in real estate. I managed property for a long time, 10 years, met my husband there, and when we got married, it was then all about the children, and every sure. job that I had from then pretty much until now was jobs that worked around raising a family.
Okay.
So that was, you know, that was it. I wasn't seeking a career. I was just doing the right thing for my family at the right time. And about 14 years ago, a friend called me, and it was perfect timing, and said, there's this job at the AIR Agency on Aging. And like I said, that was 14 years ago, and I'm so grateful to be here.
What is that role at AIR Agency on Aging that you have?
I am the director of senior volunteer programs, and titles never tell the story. But we have, within that department, we have five programs that we manage. So it's pretty broad, as is everything at the AIR Agency.
Well, we're glad you're there
because
you're
a
good friend of ours at United Way. I have to kind of throw this in, and Ryan Cheevers, who's my producer, if you will, I guess, helps write the script, wanted me to make sure that I pointed out that you and I are probably two of the biggest Tigers fans in the world.
Yes,
Could you agree with that?
Yes, I would. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that, especially this last year, with all of the exciting stuff with the 50th year anniversary of the World Series and the 84 one coming up. I just get tears in my eyes.
I
oh my
too.
Gosh, I just love it. And we went to, because, you know, Rick played baseball at Fantasy Camp. That
right.
started the year. And then we went to Cooperstown to see the induction. Oh, and yeah.
What a great year.
It
and
was.
I am old enough to have been around for the 68 World Series. I was a kid then, and I remember it so clearly. And this year, there was a lot of bittersweet memories throughout this year between that and then all of the things they did with Alan Trammell. And
oh, I know.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Yes.
That was the first year that Rick actually started watching baseball was
wow.
that year. And then he was hooked the rest of his life.
Yes.
Yeah. I was old enough, too, though. So we don't want to tell people that. So let's get into what does Area Agency on Aging do?
The Area Agency on Aging, their mission is simply offering choices for independent lives. And that is a very simple statement, but it takes in so many different things. We have a basic information and assistance line where we processed over 12,000 calls in the last year.
Wow.
And that is not just answering a little question. That is actually getting people to the services
right.
that they need. It's a really important. We have care management department that is very broad, helps people find services to help families who have, you know, anything from a child with disabilities to an aging parent, and kids are trying to work and trying to take care of their aging parent. We have caregiver education and support, Michigan Medicare and Medicaid assistance program. There are just so many things that we're able to do. And I have friends, our department is small, you know, relatively, but people call me because I work at the Area Agency on Aging, and I tell them I might not know everything,
sure.
but I know someone who can help you.
So in your department, and help me if I'm not correct here, there's a couple different programs, and one of them is the Computer Learning Center, and another one might be the Senior Community Services Employment Program. Is that correct?
Yes.
So what is the Computer Learning Center?
Computer Learning Center is we have a great we have a new building now. We have just added a building.
Yeah, I saw that. That's beautiful.
It is so awesome. And we have a computer lab that can have 16 students in it at a time. We have a all volunteer led teaching and coaching in the Computer Learning Center. We offer classes from Facebook to Excel classes.
Sure.
And we offer just such a range of classes. And it's geared towards folks who are over 50, who are our age, Anna. But we also have had students come into, you know, people come to take classes because their work needed them to take another Excel class.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I'm here with Pat Arter from the Area Agency on Aging, and right now we're talking about the Computer Learning Center. It's in a new building. It's a lovely building, so I think that when people go in there, it's just so much more realistic and, you know, an inviting environment to learn some of these skills that I think are really intimidating to people. I think about my mother, who is 83, who wants to do all of these things with her phone and the laptop. And one, she wants me to teach her, and I'm not a teacher. I'm barely a user. But, you know, just to help people feel more comfortable using the technology, because
right.
technology is there and we can't get away from it. Hopefully I answered a little bit of the question, but why is the Computer Learning Center so important?
Oh, absolutely. We have people who call us who you can tell by talking to them that they are scared of technology. And all of the teachers are, as I said, volunteers, and they're all a little bit older and have had some great experiences of their own. And we have teachers and coaches. They get a lot of one-on-one time, but people come in who maybe have never used a computer, never
sure.
touched a mouse.
Sure.
And so we start off with a beginning class. By the end of the first class, these people who were really intimidated are laughing and having fun and end up being repeat students for a lot of other things. It is so wonderful to see that light go on for people who are connecting with grandkids, perhaps, who live across the country, and connecting with them in a real regular and consistent way. It is wonderful.
You know, that's a really cool thing, because I think that we take that piece for granted, and that it does help connect families.
Oh, it sure does.
I hear all the time, or see on Facebook, the families that are Skyping with their grandkids again, and they're, you know, so I think that's it's a real positive. And
right.
if that's what we can help seniors understand, we can get more people involved in that. There's another program that you oversee, and it's the Senior Community Services Employment Program. Talk a little bit about what that is.
Yes, affectionately known as CSEP, because it's too hard to say all of that all the time. It is a program for people ages 55 and older who find themselves needing to go back to work. Sometimes needing to go to work for the first time. It might be a woman who has always been in the home, husband passed away unexpectedly, and she's all of a sudden finding that she has to work. And we provide her just the basics of training up through computer classes, how to write a resume, how to interview, how to, you know, and these are people who are really on the edge of not being able to live independently. And we help them. Some people are needing to go back to work after retirement. They thought that they weren't going to have to work again, and they're all of a sudden finding out that ends don't meet. Where do I turn now?
And again, these are things that some of us take for granted. You know, the resume writing and things like that. And
right.
I think of my mother after my father passed away. My mom had worked. She had owned her own business and done a couple things. But after my father passed away, it was like, oh, now what? You know, because my dad did all the finances, and there were certain things that my dad did that my mom never really
right.
had to. So I think I applaud AIR Agency on Aging for having these programs, and the more we can create awareness around getting folks involved in that. We're going to talk with someone, another friend of AIR Agency on Aging, in our next segment. So we have to go to a break, but when we return, we'll be welcoming in another friend of AIR Agency on Aging who's been impacted by the services. He's got a great story to share, so stay tuned.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6. I have been chatting with Pat Arter, who is staying with us for this segment from AIR Agency on Aging. And we now welcome in Chuck Weisflog, who receives services through AIR Agency on Aging. Welcome, Chuck. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank
you. Nice to have you here tonight.
Nice to be here.
So as you saw, or as you heard, we like to get to know who our guests are. So I want to know a little bit about your backstory. Okay. Who are you, and how'd you Who are you?
Well, I'm originally from Chicago, and I moved over to St. Joe. I've been in St. Joe now for 2 years.
2 years? Just 2 years?
Yes.
Okay. What brought you to St. Joe?
Well, Chicago brought
okay.
me to St. Joe,
okay.
So to speak. I've had a harder time, you know, living in Chicago.
Sure. It's a big city, isn't it?
I was ready for a change.
Well, good. Well, yeah. Glad you're here in Southwest Michigan. That's awesome. You know, coming from Chicago, I have to say this, because in our last segment, you know, Pat and I talked a little bit about our favorite baseball team,
mm-hmm.
which is the Tigers. But I'm getting the sense that they're not yours.
I'm afraid not.
Okay. So are you a Sox or a Cubs fan?
I'm a Sox fan.
Oh, boy. Sorry, Ryan.
Yeah. Well, I'm the only Sox fan on the north side of Chicago. Oh, so life has not been easy.
All right. So in this room, we've got a really diversity of our baseball support here. But I want to talk a little bit about past jobs or past careers. What was your favorite job as in your life?
I would have to say when I was in credit and collections, and it wasn't so much the job, but it was the individual I was working for. He was an awesome person. He was my hero.
That makes it, doesn't it? Yeah. When you have a good boss or a good leader to
and
work with.
This was my first job in accounting. So
your background, were you in accounting pretty much all of your life?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Pat, what was your favorite job?
Well, my current one, of course. My favorite job, oh my gosh, so hard to say. I really enjoyed the law office work.
Okay.
My hardest job ever was, I was a secretary at an elementary school for 2 years, and it was the hardest job ever.
And it wasn't the students, probably, it was the parents.
Parents, students, teachers, principal, you had to make a lot of people happy.
Chuck, you've been here for 2 short years, but yes. You got involved with Area Agency on Aging.
Yes.
So how did you get connected with Area Agency on Aging?
I got tired of trying to find a job on my own.
Okay.
And a friend of mine told me about the Area Agency, so I went over there, and I have had nothing but a wonderful experience.
What are some of the things that they've helped you with?
They helped me get a job right away. Not only that, but they help in other aspects of trying to find a job on my own, which is like resume preparation,
okay,
mock interviews,
okay,
all sorts of information. And some of the information is just geared for senior citizens.
Sure.
Because they're aware of some of the problems a senior citizen would have in getting a job. So they've been very helpful.
So how long have you been? So you got involved with Area Agency on Aging fairly quickly after you got
yes.
here. How soon after that did you have a placement or a job?
I'm still looking for a job.
Okay. All right.
My first experience has been with the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay. And what did you do with them?
I did light maintenance and some office work because actually my interest is in getting myself a job to help me with my Social Security.
Okay.
I am retired from accounting.
Okay. Yep. You don't want to do
all the accounting I want to do.
So you don't want to do any more accounting?
Right.
Okay.
So, but.
Because you'd make a great VITA tax volunteer because you know numbers.
Oh.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a volunteer, though, so.
Yeah, but at that point, there was time for me to have to relocate or have the Boys and Girls Club hire me,
okay.
And they would have hired me, except for the fact that their budget was cut.
Sure. So when you get into the program, and this is the Senior Community Services Employment Program that we're talking about, is that correct, Pat?
That's right.
Okay. So when you get into that program and they place you, how long are you placed before the organization either has to hire you or you have to make a transition into another program?
It's a year.
It's
basically.
A year. So you were at the Boys and Girls Club for a year.
Well, actually, I was there longer.
A little bit longer? Okay.
Longer than that.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's at 26 at 6, and I'm in the WSJM studio with Pat Arter and Chuck Weisflog from Area Agency on Aging, and we're talking about Chuck's experience with the Senior Community Services Employment Program. His first experience was with the Boys and Girls Club, and you were there for a little bit over a year. So now you're looking for something else. So what do you want to do?
Well,
you don't want to do numbers. We figured that one out.
In fact, I found a new love.
Uh-oh.
Working with kids.
Awesome. So the Boys and Girls Club gave you that experience, didn't it?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
And this was something that I never knew about myself. I never had experience. I was married, but I didn't have any. My wife and I didn't have any children.
Okay.
And so
I never had
any experience with children until I started working at the Boys and Girls Club, and I just fell in love.
So what is it about that made you fall in love? What is that about the kids?
they need help. You know, they're mostly their kids that are from disadvantaged families and that. And I felt like I was filling in a void, providing something that they needed.
So, Pat, yes. With leading the program, your challenge is to find him a new placement that
furthers the job training that he's getting. And that's the reason we rotate a host site if the participant has not gotten a job yet, because sometimes it'll be just a few months, sometimes it'll be a year or a little bit longer, as long as we feel like the participant is continuing to gain new skills. We can have them at the same host site. And the participants also have to do submit a job application. Every week they have to apply for a job. So we are constantly working with them to help them find the right jobs to apply to and go for. And you know, but after a time, we move them to a new host site to help them expand their skill base.
And one of the trainings, I'm assuming, is computer skills. And yes. So with that, you also, Pat, lead the Computer Learning Center, which we talked about. Chuck, did you participate in that?
Yes, I did.
Did you go into working in the Learning Center with little skill, and did you come out with more skill? What was your experience with that?
I would say that my skill set in computers is average.
Okay.
And so now I find myself being more above average in those skills.
Okay. What are some of the things that you learned in that program that you didn't know before?
I learned Excel.
Okay. And nobody ever fully learns Excel.
No.
Do you know what a pivot table is?
No, I don't.
No, neither do I. So go on. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I've just learned a few other things that, you know, I didn't know before.
Okay. Are you a Facebook user?
No, I'm not.
So you haven't learned that yet, have
no.
you? Do you have a cell phone?
Yes.
Do you take pictures with it?
I have a flip phone.
Oh, okay.
It's a turn of the century phone I have.
Hey, so. It dials and you can talk to people, right?
Right.
That's all you need. That's all you need. So if you were, Pat, you probably see a lot of people like Chuck. How does it make you feel to hear him say such great things about Air Agency on Aging?
That's why we do what we do. It is so awesome to see people improve their, you know, their lot in life and to really be taking responsibility for wanting to make their lives better and to be independent.
So, Chuck, if you had you have a huge audience out there. And let's assume there's some folks out there that are in your situation when you first moved here to St. Joe from Chicago. You didn't know what was going on, didn't know how to get connected. What would you tell those people?
I would tell those people, I highly recommend the Area Agency. Come to them, and they do everything. You can see there's passion in the staff. And you just get this feeling that they do want to help, and they'll do everything they can to help you. And that's what I get from that, and I think they'd be very happy.
Well, that is awesome, Chuck. That's absolutely awesome. Pat, how do people get connected to the services at Area Agency on Aging?
They can go to our website at areaagencyonaging.org, or they can call us at 269-983-7058.
Well, I want to thank Pat Arter and Chuck Weisflog for joining us this evening. If you want to know more about United Way of Southwest Michigan, visit us at uwsm.org. United Way fights for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in Southwest Michigan. I'm Anna Murphy. Thanks for joining the fight.
The United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.